The manatee was too weak to swim.
You are looking at the body shutting down. You're looking at the body eating its own fat reserves. You're looking at the body doing a lot of things to try to save the core. And when that goes on, would that be discomfort? Absolutely. Would that be painful? More than likely.
John Peterson eyed the manatee as she lay still in a medical pool at a SeaWorld rehabilitation center, only lifting her whiskered snout every so often to breathe. Her body was slender, hardly that of the chunky manatee she should have been, a relative of elephants.
Right now, every calorie I'm putting in is trying to care for the body's decay that's going on. It's trying to take care of the infections that are raging. So none of those calories yet are going to put weight on. They're literally going to try to save her body.
The manatee was near death from starvation. Peterson, who helped supervise her care, called the manatee number 37 because she was the 37th manatee to be rescued this year from Florida waters. She's one of the lucky ones. Of the staggering number of deaths this year in Florida, many are related to the kind of starvation number 37 suffered from. More than half of the deaths are in the Indian River Lagoon, a biologically diverse East Coast estuary where ongoing water quality problems have led to a widespread loss of seagrass, the manatee's preferred food. Environmental groups say on the East Coast, some 20% of the manatee population has been wiped out. Two Florida congressional leaders, Democrat Darren Soto of Kissimmee and Republican Vern Buchanan of Sarasota, have filed legislation aimed at restoring the manatee's endangered status. Pat Rose of the Save the Manatee Club says the downlisting not only was premature, but neglected scientifically documented warning signs at the time that manatees were in trouble, leaving the animals vulnerable for the latest in a series of mortality events.
If you don't believe it's a serious issue and it's going to be a short-term problem, you're not going to put the scientific effort into it or the political effort or the management practices into place to prevent those declines in the future.
Among the most important habitats in the world for manatees is the Indian River Lagoon. The estuary's warm, brackish waters and historically lush seagrass provide a haven, especially during the winter, for the animals, which are stressed in cold water.
The small, you know, piece of the IRL that we're seeing actually looks pretty good compared to how we've seen in the past.
Bill Greer of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission peered into the tea-colored water from a grassy shore in Melbourne Beach. For several years, ongoing nutrient pollution associated with fertilizers and septic tanks, for instance, have triggered harmful algae blooms that can cloud the lagoon's historically crystal water, preventing sunlight from reaching the seagrass undulating beneath the surface. In some parts of the lagoon, nearly all of the seagrass is gone. For manatees, the paucity means that when a cold snap occurs, they face a crucial choice, whether to stay and potentially starve or forage elsewhere and freeze. In January 2021, it was clear something was wrong again in the Indian River Lagoon. Greer is part of a three-person team rescuing dead and ailing manatees in the lagoon. And after a series of cold snaps, the team members began receiving almost daily calls about dead manatees.
It's fairly physical work, just handling the carcasses and manipulating them, doing the exams.
Between December 2020 and May 2021, there were 677 dead manatees reported on Florida's East Coast, the highest number ever recorded in the state during a six-month period. Greer's team reached out to other agencies for help.
It also got to a point where we were trying to make sure we were getting enough time, you know, to kind of recuperate.
The massive manatee die-off comes just 4 years after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced it would downlist the animal. The agency said it was because gains in the animal's population and habitat meant its status no longer fit the definition of endangered. The downlisting came after a petition from the Pacific Legal Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to limited government and individual rights. The downlisting generated widespread opposition. The scientific experts who peer-reviewed the proposal cited various concerns, including the harmful algae blooms and catastrophic seagrass losses in the Indian River Lagoon, crucial manatee habitat. The experts feared the animals' habitat problems would get worse. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says since the downlisting, protections on the manatee have not changed significantly. Jacqueline Lopez of the Center for Biological Diversity says the downlisting sent the message the manatee was okay when it was not, which can affect policy decisions and public attitudes toward the animal. Politicians might decide, for instance, against further habitat measures. The group, along with the Save the Manatee Club and Defenders of Wildlife, together have filed a notice of intent to sue the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service over the manatee's plight.
Rather than like keeping your foot on the gas and pushing toward recovery, pushing toward those targets, pushing toward habitat restoration, it was like pumping the brakes.
The calamity now has prompted an urgent federal and state effort aimed at bracing for potentially more deaths this coming winter, as the Indian River Lagoon's water quality problems and seagrass losses will not be resolved anytime soon. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission even is considering supplemental feeding, a controversial measure. Among the manatees rescued this year were 13 orphan calves. At least two ended up at the SeaWorld Rehabilitation Center in Orlando, in a tank not far from number 37's. The baby manatees looked plump as they slurped hungrily from bottles, although they faced a long recovery. They were called number 26 and number 31. Both were perhaps days old when they were rescued, one with its umbilical cord still attached. Here's John Peterson of SeaWorld.
Unfortunately, their mothers are either mortalities or somehow came separated from them.
What concerns Peterson is that starvation involves a much longer recovery than other threats like red tide, which takes 2 to 3 weeks to treat. For starvation, the recovery is 6 to 8 months, and he worries about running out of space should another die-off occur. He's working with other partner organizations to move more healthy manatees elsewhere, to free up SeaWorld's medical pools for more fragile animals, like number 37. Amy Green in Orlando.